Sure. Day two, lesson four. Continue. Okay. Now we get to the point. And in each phase of the seminar, remember there's sambandha, avideya, prayojana. The last lesson in each phase, we actually come to the fulfillment of the phase, which makes sense. So, for example, sambandha means we're trying to deepen our understanding, our awareness of Prabhupada's relationship with all of us, all generations of his followers. So it all culminates in this lesson. So I hope we can tie up all the questions and the loose ends. And, you know, until we go back to Godhead, as one God sister said to me, you know, Sureshwar, don't worry about closure on this and this and that and that, because there's no such thing as closure in this material world. There's closure when we give up the game and we surrender and we go back to Godhead. Then there's closure. There's always something in your inbox. So don't worry about it. Anyway, slightly different issue, but okay. I just gave it away. All right, thinking of the symptoms that we read from the previous lesson about the founder Acharya, both from our sister Sampradaya and from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our previous super Acharyas, we're going to look at how Prabhupada manifested those symptoms. So, for example, you know, Udarika, he's the savior of everyone. So, let's see. Who would like to read? Raja.
Sleeping with low four
times
in 12 years, Prabhupada inspired people to help establish Krishna consciousness on every major
world. Just think about that. Here we are in Sridhar Mayapur. And it's nectar, associating with devotees from all over the world. You really get a vision of the Thakur's vision, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When he saw this, right? Especially in Guru Puja, when you see people from China and South America and Yemen and, you know, Reykjavik, Iceland and Timbuktu, practically, coming to offer flowers to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. You go there and go through. And Svananda Sukadeva, go out on the veranda and see. I mean, that's where he saw, he envisioned that we'd all be coming here to chant Jai Satchinandana Gohari. And he also envisioned this, boom, 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 the Adbhuta Mandir. So, at the same time, it's not easy for at least someone like me, to be able to relate to all these different kinds of people. Because we're all coming from such radically different prarabdha karmas, right? Where, you know, in America, if somebody's going like this, you think they're saying no. In India, it's yes. And when it's in America, when someone's going like this, it means get away from me. In Bengal, it's come here. And in America, if somebody's serving you food and you say no, then they pass you by. But the etiquette here is, you keep giving. I just told you no! What are you doing to me? But it's, in India, it's impolite if you don't generously offer more. Anyway, these are just silly little examples. That's just the top of the iceberg, right? So, think that Srila Prabhupada, he was able to supernaturally, transcendentally, mystically connect with people to inspire them to do amazing things. Sometimes almost instantly. He was able to cut through all these layers of ethnicity, race, nationality, whatever karmic background you can imagine, and just connect with people on a spirit level. The quickest, now correct me if I'm wrong, but the quickest connection I've ever heard of was when Prabhupada was passing through Fiji on a flight connection, a 45-minute connection. And an Indian, Fijian Indian businessman comes up to him and says, "Swamiji, what are you doing? Who are you?" And Prabhupada proceeds to tell him about his mission to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And by the end of the conversation, Prabhupada says, "So you should open up a temple." And he did! And then he became the GBC of Fiji. 45-minute conversation. This is why Babaji Maharaj said he did what nobody else ever did. Furthermore, he was able to empower people, like a Shivananda, a 19-year-old Shivananda. So go to Germany and start something. Abhay, fearless, you know. Prabhupada says, "I can do it, I can do it." You know, Shivananda, "I can do it," Prabhupada said. Right? Prabhupada's on a train with so many disciples, with his dancing white elephants in the early 70s, and they stop in Delhi, they're on their way to Allahabad or something. And he tells Gurudas and Jamuna, "So, get down, you start something." I think they had so Jamuna says, "So we just picked up our bags and we just..." Because that was the that is the potency of Srila Prabhupada. If you're in touch with that deep faith and that absolute faith in Krishna, as my late great godbrother Aniruddha Prabhu said. So I was in Los Angeles with Srila Prabhupada, and I said, "Prabhupada, I just love you so much, Srila Prabhupada, and you're so wonderful." And Prabhupada just stopped him and said, "What attracts you to me is my love for Krishna." Because love can move mountains. What to speak of love of God, right? This is why I'm so happy Arundhati is here, because if you have to read, you have to see Yadavar's Following Srila Prabhupada series, practically just to hear her memory. Because when you're seeing yourself in the movie that he's presenting and you're giving your memory, it puts you right there, you know, in New York and in Boston. And you're just right there. And the way he edited you too is so touching. You know, he just ended just in the right mood, in the right word, and you're right there with Srila Prabhupada. So this is extraordinary. Prabhupada traveling around the world and just inspiring people so much. You know, people from all walks of life. You name the difference, and Prabhupada was able to. Or sometimes people would report, the devotees would say in the movie, "Yeah, and then you don't know, in this airport, it wasn't only the devotees that were going crazy, it was businessmen, grown men." We're like, "What's going on here?" And when the devotees would cry, they'd cry too. You know, these hardened businessmen, you know, they were just transported out of their mode by what they saw. So, okay. So, this is just one example of Uparika. He's Jagat Guru. He's Nityasiddha, Shaktivedeshavatar, Uttamahadikari, Mahabhagavan. And he's everybody's foundational master. Okay. And therefore, because he had that potency, he did establish. Some say it was 108 on the nose when he left this world. Founded over 100 KC temples, schools, farms and restaurants. This is Prabhupada, the Renaissance man, the transcendental Renaissance man. His mission was comprehensive, and we're going to get into it in a few lessons of how Prabhupada revealed the phases of that mission. It's very interesting. I didn't know this, but Prabhupada, it was all in a strategy that he had starting after Gandhi's assassination. That's where it starts. I mean, it starts way before then with his Guru Maharaj and the previous Acharyas. But when it starts manifesting in form and shape, it gets beyond the subtle stage. It's fascinating. Okay. Rajendra Nandana Prabhu, could you read the next?
Prabhu published scores of books revealing the foundational Vaishnava Shastras.
And hearkening back to those symptoms of a founder of Acharya, also spoke beautiful purports to songs. 1973. I'm bathing at the bathing ghat at New Vrindavan, which consisted of a gangplank, walk the plank. And there's a little spring, you know, full of muddy water, because the cows were always grazing above the spring, and just kicking the mud down into the water. Anyway, there was a festival going on. And Vishnujan Maharaj, we're bathing at the bathing ghat. In those days we just bathed in the altar together, you remember that? In nude. You know, we didn't even know that we were supposed to cover yourself.
I never did that.
We didn't even know that you're not supposed to bathe, you know, like in gym class in junior high school, you know. So I had just heard a new golden avatar tape of Vishnujan Maharaj. Do you remember this? Vrindavane Ramayastana Devya This harmonium, and I don't know what the acoustics were, but it's like you're somewhere in Shweta Dweep, you know? And so I had just heard the tape, Golden Avatar, Krishna Kanti, and I said to Maharaj, I love this tape of you singing Vrindavan Ramyastan from Narottam Das Thakur. And he got a big smile on his face. He said, Prabhupada, he asked me to write a tune for that song. That's how, you know, tuned into that aspect of Prabhupada, Vishnujan Maharaj was, where Prabhupada asking his disciple, Vishnujan Swami, to write a tune for his son. And then he smiled bigger, he said, and then I did, and Prabhupada loved the tune. And then there's a tape where you hear, it's the same tape. After that, after Vishnujan Maharaj sings the song, then he reads the purport. He's reading Prabhupada's spoken purport that appears in song books. And it's all about the spiritual world and of all the touch, the land is like touchstone. And then he finishes the purport and then you hear Maharaj say, that's perfect. So this is what Prabhupada did. He wrote scores of books and he also purported the songs of the Vaishnavacharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, because that's where we come from. We come from the spiritual world, where every step is a dance, and all speech is song. So it's very powerful. Everybody loves music because it's a reflection of where we come from. And when it's connected to Krishna, it's directly transporting. What to speak of when you hear Prabhupada saying? Okay, so... Rajendranandana Prabhu
initiated thousands of disciples and inspired hundreds of thousands more to awaken their own Krishna consciousness.
And that's just in his manifest lila. One of my personal themes about founder Acharya is that what Prabhupada had a chance to exhibit in 12 years is only a fraction of Vani Prabhupada. It's really as wonderful as it was to behold Prabhupada and to see his mission unfold. Prabhupada himself, what was his one lamentation? Not that he hadn't finished the Bhagavatam, his life's work, but that he hadn't had a chance to show us how to live completely, fully in Krishna-conscious Daivavarnashram communities. So, he inspired so many, and as we said yesterday, he's not just the Diksha Guru of, you know, 4,800 people, but he's the all-time foundational Shiksha Guru of anybody who wants to take shelter of his teachings. Rajendranandana Prabhu.
For very elderly, he exhibited extraordinary spiritual strength, preaching Krishna consciousness day and night to whoever would listen.
Yes. So, you know, Prabhupada was appearing in an elderly body, but especially his first followers just sort of took it for granted that this is Swamiji. He's like a genie out of a bottle. He can do anything. He can chant for hours. He can cook the best. He can speak like nobody else. He can behave like nobody else. Rupanuga tells a funny story of how at 26 Second Avenue, you know, the prasadam then was just cutting up an apple, right? And so Prabhupada would cut an apple, and then he would distribute the apple, and then he would take a bite, and then he would spit the seed into the sink. Rupanuga says, just by seeing that, I thought nobody else could do that. You know, spit the seed perfectly into the sink. I became convinced. Funny, huh? Yes.
Another funny story that Rupanuga tells. When he heard, the first time he heard Prabhupada was in Buffalo, Prabhupada gave a lecture, and he turned to a friend and said, I didn't understand one word, but I knew that every word he said was true.
Yeah, well, they say even mundane communicators, most communication is nonverbal, right? So what Prabhupada projected and what people felt from him was so different. It was so amazing. Okay. Mahamaya.
Every time I travel from time zone to time zone, I just get completely jet lag. And Prabhupada never ever exhibited that. I get to where he's going and they freshen up, but I'm just ready to go part of the spiritual stuff.
Yeah, I thought of that when I was part of the biography research team. And if I challenge anybody, all you have to do to see if Prabhupada is transcendental to the bodily concept of life is read his itinerary. Just read his itinerary from 1960, well, especially 6, all the way to the end. It's totally exhausting. And as Shruti Kirti, you know, reports in What is the Difficulty, or even Harishari in the Transcendental Diary, there was no such thing as jet lag. It completely doesn't exist. Whereas for us, you know, it totally throws off our biorhythms. You know, we think we're okay, but then a day later, you know, inexplicably you collapse. Because your body thinks it's 3 in the morning and it's actually, you know. So Prabhupada didn't know that at all. And he would criticize those around him for having, what are you sleeping? You're worse than karmis, Prabhupada would say. At least they're working hard, you know. You're just eating and crashing. And, you know. So, okay. So, let's do one more. Raj Prabhu.
Founded the ISKCON branch of the Chaitanya tree. Destined to carry pure love of God to every town and village on earth.
Yes. Also, the Gaudiya Mutt was destined. They had their founder, Acharya. They had the order. When we were compiling the biography, Satsang Maharaj would assign us to interview different people. He gave himself the assignment of interviewing His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj in Navadvip. So Maharaj went across the river one fine day, and one of the questions he asked Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj was, was it only our Prabhupada that Saraswati Thakur gave the order to? Because he did it. And so Maharaj said, oh no. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was always telling us that we have to spread this all over the world. We have to go to the West. We have to preach. We have to take it to every town and village. But your Swami Maharaj did it. Therefore, Shakti Avesh. And that comes from Chaitanya Chaitamrita. There's a verse which describes somebody who is potent to preach Krishna consciousness. We're going to bring that up later. I just want to read a few more symptoms matching up to from the Thakur's Harinama Chintamani about Adiguru, the Adiguru being applied to a founder Acharya. Based on Prabhupada's activities. Remember, his teachings supersede all others and are compulsory for his followers. In 1975, when a San Francisco journalist asked him what would happen to his movement when he died, Srila Prabhupada boomed,
I will never die.
I will live forever in my books. Srila Prabhupada dedicated his Bhagavatam to his own spiritual master, the founder Acharya of the Gaudiya Mutt. this way, quote, he lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. He could have said, he lives forever by his divine diksha, which was certainly divine. He could have said, he lives forever by his divine vapu. That wouldn't quite have been right, huh? Which was divine. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. Anybody who comes in contact with Srila Prabhupada's words, the spoken word, the written word, and accepts them as their life and soul, is a Prabhupada Nuga for all time, for all generations. And anybody who's purporting to be a Shiksha or a Diksha or a Bharma Pradarshika Guru in Prabhupada's ISKCON is to assist Srila Prabhupada and to enhance the foundational relationship that we all have with Srila Prabhupada. Okay. Here is... Here's a very powerful story. I don't think you were in the movement yet, Arundhati, but in 67, were you... Prabhupada had a stroke in May. Had you come around the temple yet? No? Okay. So, if you know your Leelamrita, Prabhupada was in San Francisco in 67. He opened up, he exploded the movement there, and then he came back to New York. Memorial Day was approaching in America at the end of May. Americans honor the people who fought in wars and died by saying, we'll have a Memorial Day, and we'll honor the dead who lived and died to defend freedom. So Prabhupada was going to go to that event and preach what he called the peace formula. And not just to honor war dead, but to proactively describe how to have peace, so you won't have to have people die in wars. But before he got a chance to go, he had already composed his speech. One fine morning, he threw up his arms, Hare Krishna! And he fell back in Kirtanananda's arms. And later, he told the devotees in a letter, I was supposed to have died Tuesday. But because, Prabhupada told from his hospital, he said, bed, you should have all night kirtan. Both in New York and the New York phone, San Francisco. And that's when Prabhupada introduced what prayer? The string of prayers. Yes. So the devotees tried their best to chant those prayers and they stayed up all night and Prabhupada pulled through. It wasn't until Mukunda Maharaj wrote his book, Miracle on 26th Second Avenue, that I realized that Srila Prabhupada, they took Prabhupada to the same hospital I was born in. I'm so old that it was once called the Beth David Hospital, now it's called the Beth Israel Hospital. And it was Beth Israel by the time Prabhupada was with us. And if you know the Leelamrita, you know that Brahmananda and Garga Muni got him out of that hospital too, because they were using Prabhupada as a guinea pig to do their tests. They even gave Prabhupada a real, you know, uncomfortable test, like they call a spinal tap. And so they asked Prabhupada, is that hurt, Prabhupada?
We are tolerant.
Anyway, there was a Keystone Cops chase out of that hospital because after a few days, Prabhupada and the devotees realized that Prabhupada wasn't getting any better there and they were just using him as a guinea pig for their tests, as they often do. So, Brahmananda and Garga Muni, they studied the situation, they studied the movements of the doctors and the attendants, and they knew the right time to get Prabhupada out of there. So at the right moment, they put him on the gurney, you know, the moving stretcher, and they ran for the elevator, and the doctors, you know, and the elevator door closed, and the chase began. The elevator going down, and they beat them. They beat them down the stairs, and then they pushed Prabhupada on the gurney out of the elevator pretty fast. You know, Prabhupada's up, but Prabhupada wants this, you know. And so the doctors see them, and they're outside now, and they got the car waiting, and the doctors are chasing them. You're going to kill that old man! And Prabhupada said, no, get me out of here, you know. So they took him away. Long story short, Prabhupada did try to recover, this is May now, on the Jersey Shore first in Long Branch, New Jersey. He wasn't getting any better. The weather wasn't cooperating. So he went to the West Coast, where the devotees were having their first Ratha Yatra under Jayananda Prabhu's leadership. Prabhupada was so sick he couldn't go to the Ratha Yatra. But the devotees came up later to visit Prabhupada. And while the Rath Yatra was going on, this was recorded in the Lilamrita and then in Mukunda Maharaja's book. You get an even fuller picture of what happened in a very poignant moment in ISKCON history. It was only witnessed by a few, but it has ramifications that we're still feeling to this day. Okay. So, Hayagriva and Kirtanananda, bless their souls, were pushing Mukunda to ask Prabhupada the question, because they knew that Prabhupada was planning to go back to India to get his health back. So they were saying, Mukunda, you've got to ask Prabhupada, because you met Swamiji first. You're still Swamiji. You met Swamiji first, and Mukunda didn't want to do it, because Mukunda was a little more mannered, had a little more couth, had a little more, anyway. So they forced him to ask the question, what will we do? It was all about us, right, in the neophyte stage. What are us guys going to do if Swamiji doesn't come back from India? Mukunda said, no, I can't ask that. That's not right. He had a little sense. You know? So they forced him. They said, look, do it. So they were listening at the door, and Mukunda says, let's see if this has got the whole... Yeah, okay. When you die, what will happen to the movement, I asked. Will you have a successor who will continue your work and look after our spiritual education? Now remember, Prabhupada is Sri Kaligya. He knows what the Hare Krishna movement is destined to become. He knows that at some point he's going to have to announce himself, as he did, put it into writing, as the founder of Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and not simply the avuncular, the grandfatherly guru of a few ex-hippies, which is all it was at this point. So, Mukunda is asking this, and he says in his book, as I heard myself say the words, I realized it had been a mistake to ask this. The Swami sat silently, looking out the window at the sand dunes and the mountains. He didn't even answer the question at first. It was just too much. It was high tide, and I could hear the waves pounding the beach. El Paradiso is the Spanish bungalow they're at. Gulls shrieked. You can hear it. The Swami muttered something quietly. So Prabhupada, at first, he just muttered something. Muttered. When you mutter in English, you're not pleased. It's out of the side of your mouth. You're muttering. The Swami muttered something quietly. I couldn't hear what you said, Swami, I said carefully. Can you repeat it?
Actually, it is insult to the spiritual master, he said a little louder.
He turned away from the window and looked at me pensively, thoughtfully. He looked at me pensively, as if he was hurt by my question. I'm sorry, Swami, I said. I felt like shrinking into the carpet. He closed his eyes. Outside, a dog barked. Row, row! A shallow stream of tears appeared below each of his eyes and flowed over his cheeks. He slowly wiped them away. My spiritual master, he said, and his voice choked to gravel. I was stunned. What had I done? My spiritual master, he said. He was no ordinary spiritual master. He paused again and then whispered falteringly, he saved me. So, Hayagriva, when he wrote his book later, The Hare Krishna Explosion, he adds this. Later, Swamiji tells us that we should have always known. Not possible. But this is, what a disciple should be, should have always known. And here's what he should have always known. There is no one to replace him. Not just the Diksha Guru of a band of ex-hippies, but the founder of Acharya, for all generations of ISKCON devotees, anybody who's going to follow him. The very idea is insulting, Prabhupada. If someone comes and tells you something different, he says, you will be confused. And we were confused when we didn't follow that. So much chaos, so much confusion, especially after Prabhupada left. So, that happened, and it's a lesson that we can use more and more and meditate on more and more as time passes. Only he could lead them doesn't just mean a volume of Prabhupada's life story, that only he could lead a handful of, as I say, counterculture refugees. But it means only he was the one who, by dint of his unprecedented surrender to Krishna and the previous acharyas and his Guru Maharaj, was uniquely empowered to spread Krishna consciousness to an unprecedented degree all over the world. And if you want to read a neat purport, of course Prabhupada doesn't mention himself, but he talks about what it takes to do this in Madhya Leela, chapter 23, text 105. You can read about the difference between practical renunciation and dry renunciation, and what it takes to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world according to time, country, candidate. Another favorite purport is Bhagavatam 4.8.54. It's extraordinary. Prabhupada never mentions himself, but you see what it takes to be on that level of Krishna consciousness to do what he did. Only he could lead them. Rajendranandana Prabhu. 23.105. The difference between Yukta Vairagya and Shushka Vairagya. Dry renunciation. And practical renunciation. It's not our business to criticize. Prabhupada, when he would criticize, what happened in the Gaudiya Math, in the next breath, if it was in a letter or in a talk, a spoken word, he would warn us, it is not your business to criticize my God brothers. That's not Bhakti Sadachar. But we have to take the lessons. We have to learn from history, or we are doomed to repeat its mistakes, as the history teachers always tell us. So, let me just do one more thing about Prabhupada's unique position according to those symptoms of Harinama Chintamani. Remember, one symptom was this: is the acharya or leader of all the Vaishnavas when physically present. Of course, for us, disciples he was, but even at the end, this is what happened. I'll just read the end one. There's others too, but just the end. At the end of his life, owing to his absolute humility, Srila Prabhupada and his godbrothers reconciled their differences, as you might remember from his Leela. When Prabhupada began asking his godbrothers to forgive him, they protested. So Prabhupada, he did not only said things, he wrote things and purports for all time, which are very, very heavy. And Prabhupada, in his last days, in his Uttama Adhikari mood, which is feeling very fallen, and he wanted to ask forgiveness from his godbrothers. You were there. You were in the room. Okay, maybe you can add to this, but here's from the Lilavrita. Asking his godbrothers to forgive him, they protested. I think this was Puri Maharaja said this, but you can confirm her. They protested. You are the eternal leader, one of them asserted. You rule over us, guide us, and chastise us. Because he wasn't, this makes me think it is Prabhupada, because he wasn't envious. He was not envious. Prabhupada, Forgive all my offenses, Prabhupada repeated. I became proud of my opulence. No, said Puri Maharaj, this is under the Namritan. So they must have interviewed him. You never became proud. When you started preaching, opulence and success followed you. This is Shastra. Opulence and success follow you. Muktir, what is that? Right? Muktir. Kitanjali.
Sevate Asman.
Yeah.
Kuli Tanjali Sevate Asman.
When you become Krishna conscious, Mukti and Bhukti, they follow you like maidservants.
Waiting to serve.
Yeah. Okay. No, said Puri Maharaj, you never became proud. When you started preaching, opulence and success followed you. That was the blessing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Krishna. There cannot be any question of your being offensive. When Srila Prabhupada presented himself as Mahapatit, greatly fallen, Puri Maharaj did not accept. You have saved millions of people around the world, he said. Therefore, there is no question of offenses, but you should be called Mahapatita Pavana, the great savior of the fallen. Prabhupada's disciples regarded Prabhupada's asking for his godbrother's forgiveness as a manifestation of his absolute humility. So did you hear, can you add something to it?
I would just emphasize that last line, the exhibition of his humility was just hard to break.
You saw it?
Yeah, I was there. My heart was just like, I can't believe he's begging forgiveness when his father was like that. It was really nice to see the, at least Puri Maharaj did that, but certainly not Ali, although he asked him to take this message with apologies to my godbrothers. They didn't all have the same
certification,
but it was very nice to see that.
The limited group
were there.
Yes. So at least Puri Maharaj recognized what the Shastra said, that he's the leader of all Vaishnavas when he's present. Although, I mean, yeah, it's inconceivable from, you know, my conditioned state. You know, he's asking people who never helped him. You know, and now I'm sailing near breaking the norm. We don't criticize. We're so busy glorifying Prabhupada, we won't have no business criticizing anybody else. Yes.
You don't have to answer this question, but it's in relation to this topic. I don't know if it could be answered without a whole seminar on it, but recently, a few days ago, I read something I had never read before, in which Prabhupada had met with his godbrothers in India. At that time, we were bringing Mercedes vans into India to do traveling sankirtan. Prabhupada met with many of godbrothers and said, why don't you join me? I'll give you a van. I'll give you men to manage your temples, whatever you need. You go out and preach Krishna consciousness. We did all over the world. I only ask one thing, that you distribute my books, no one else's books. So it seems, based on the conversation that Mukunda Maharaj had, there was a fear of allowing anyone of Prabhupada's godbrothers. This is a bad word, but I'll say infiltrate this one, because they might say something different than Prabhupada. And here we see not just Prabhupada, as we know, he requested Sridhar Maharaj to come to Mayapur and preach, but here we're asked, he wanted to engage everyone because that was the mission of his guru, and he, as the leader, wanted to get them. And therefore, you run the risk by engaging so many who may be slightly independent and not subservient to Prabhupada, they may say different things. Prabhupada is taming that a little bit by saying, just distribute my books, but that's still public. So what's your vision on that, of Prabhupada allowing them to come in based on what seems to be an extreme concern when they say something different to you?
Do you know when he said that? When did Garga Muni with the Mercedes vans? That was in 76? It was pretty late.
Yeah, it was. I don't think it was, you know, in the early 70s when things were...
Yeah, it was more money around Mercedes vans.
But you definitely have this consciousness of Prabhupada to engage his godbrothers, and also expand the preaching, work on the new GBC, and so forth.
Yeah.
So we understand that under his guidance, but how do we understand his concern of bringing in so many people? Because we have a fear of mixing outside. So what's your...
Okay, I'll try to do it without sailing too close to Aparad. If I am, you ring the bell. You're the umpire. You didn't ring the bell. Okay, I mean, even in September 74, famous letter to Rupanuga Prabhu, where Rupanuga is asking for some clarification on our relationship, how we should relate to Prabhupada's God brothers and Prabhupada. Specifically one God brother, he's saying, he's the best of a lot. I won't mention names. And then he, by the end of the letter, Prabhupada was saying, without going through the whole letter and what Prabhupada said, here's the point is, Prabhupada said, they are not competent to help us. As a matter of fact, they're very competent to harm us, which adds more fuel to what your question. You know, why, if Prabhupada knows that, why is he doing that? All I can do is philosophically speculate, unless you have something from Prabhupada's lotus mouth, Mahamaya.
Well, I just want to reference, I've heard directly from Rupanuga when he explains, you know, Prabhupada's letters to Prabhupada are not hot kept.
Are not what?
We don't see the letter that Prabhupada is receiving.
Yeah.
Right?
So what?
I just wanted to spell the myth, but he had said, Prabhupada, I see that your godfathers are religious. That's what Rupanuga wrote. So when Prabhupada said, this particular one is the best of the lot, his name of all the envious godfathers, he's the best. I mean, sorry to say that's...
Oh, best of the envious, okay, yeah. No, anyway.
Yeah, so I just wanted to clarify it quick, because people make it mean something.
Anyway, let me just give you.
And then opens the door to.
Right.
Tom.
So,
do you think possibly, by Prabhupada saying if you distribute my books, that he was thinking anyone who would come would only come if they were willing to work under the supervision of the organization, so that they'd either stop being envious, or if they were, they wouldn't, and those who weren't would.
In other words, Prabhupada, he was the good son of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who did what Saraswati Thakur wanted everybody to do, cooperate and work under the collective management. So, to my mind, he was inviting them to do what they all knew somewhere in their consciousness that their Guru Maharaj wanted them to do, work cooperatively with collective management. At the same time, I can't help but think that, you know, if younger Gaudiya Math people refuse to do that, how are they at this advanced age ever going to take them up on it? I don't think Prabhupada saw it as a great risk, but I think he saw it as perhaps his duty to remind them, as he had done some years earlier when he wrote, you know, Vrindavan Bhajan, O Brothers, that heavy poem, you know, you will receive the favor of Srimati Radharani when we don't just make a festival of flowers for Guru Maharaj, but we do what he wanted us to say. Wanted us to do, to work cooperatively and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. I can't help but think that Prabhupada didn't feel there was any real danger of them seriously taking him up on it and doing something. But at the same time, he was perhaps reminding them that this is what his Guru Maharaj wanted, a collective mission. And he was prepared for whatever response they had. But there was never any response. So now I'm sailing close to that. It's not our business to criticize. But we have to learn the lesson to keep from repeating it. Who knows? Maybe I was among those people. I was born in 1946, December. Maybe I was a Gaudiya Math guy who kicked a bucket in 45. And Krishna gave me another chance to serve my great godbrother, Abhay Babu. Who knows? I might have been part of the problem. You know, and now I got another chance. So... anyway,
I was going to ask about, wanted to ask some questions about the predictions and Shastra for Srila Prabhupada's
names.
There's that Very enlightening. I never heard that before. Discussion from the Vaivarta Purana.
Rama Vaivarta Purana and then
Vaivarta Purana
and Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu. Yeah. Krishna. Yeah. So, if this is the question I have to, I'm asking this question about where Prabhupada is now.
Well, now you're getting into Nitya Leela, and we're not really going there because I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I know he's with Krishna. But
okay, so
we might get into a little bit in the last lesson when we talk about your Srila Prabhupada.
Right.
Because this was broached. When I was compiling, when I was researching this seminar, I was listening a lot to old cassette tapes of a seminar that Satsuma Maharaj gave in Vrindavan, 1992, Srila Prabhupada, his life and teachings. And in the last lesson of that seminar, Giriraj Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj were in the room talking about your Srila Prabhupada. And the subject of Nitya Leela came up, and the relationship between Nitya Leela and Bhava Leela. And it's just a little bit, but that's not really our focus. We're really trying to focus on how to cooperate and find common identity. And maybe we can talk about that. I mean, some guy, you know, did you read? And I'll talk later about something. It's 1 o'clock. Was that helpful? To tie up some loose ends?
Seems, maybe it's covered in the first one, but it seems another characteristic of Srila Prabhupada was that his ability to elevate people in Krishna consciousness, perhaps beyond, maybe it's not the exact way to say it, but beyond their level of realization, to perform beyond their level of realization, or to come to Krishna consciousness before they're ready and do more than they normally could. That kind of, it seems like a something that we all experienced in his presence.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that in Varnashram, Clearing the Confusion, Lesson 7. Of what happened at different phases of Prabhupada's Leela manifesting. Not only did he, anyway, yeah, we'll later for that. Yeah, that was extraordinary. Okay. Okay. Was it helpful?
Always.
It's a start, right? It's a long journey. Okay, let me just read the transition to the next lesson. Having looked at the Shastric predictions of Srila Prabhupada's advent, the arrangements Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made for his advent, and how he sublimely manifested all the symptoms of a founder acharya, we have deepened our awareness of Prabhupada's relationship with all of his followers. We are now ready to enter the Abhideya phase of our seminar, acting in that relationship by improving our service to his mission. This is where the rubber meets the road, as we say in America. This is where, are we getting it or not? And of course, it's just a seminar, but we're supposed to take it home and apply it. So that's what the next two lessons are going to be, a mini Leelamrita, just in terms of how the mission, the seed to the branch has gone, how it all developed. Yes.
Are you going to address the question I asked earlier of why Prabhupada stressed himself as founder acharya? What was his purpose there?
Yes, definitely. Prabhupada.
Sorry, just on the symptoms of the founder acharya, often people ask Prabhupada, can you perform a miracle? What miracles can you perform? And that's the symptom of some great mystic yogi. And Prabhupada most of the time say, well, I've taken your
behold.
You from these kind of backgrounds and made them into devotees of Krishna. And that's the he, you know, probably the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't accept cheap miracles. This is the real miracle. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes so far as to say that that's the test of a Vaishnava. How much of a touchstone he is. How much he can create, you know, ignite, restore people to their natural position of serving Krishna. That's the real miracle worker. Jai. So we'll break for lunch and we'll come back tomorrow at 10:30. And you're welcome to come at 3:30 if that's more convenient, you know, in the future, for future lessons. It's a bit smaller at 3:30, but it's pretty sweet. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.